How are you doing? Really? How are you? That's a question maybe that's taken on something of a new meaning, a new power, a new importance in the past few weeks and months. But I do genuinely hope and pray that you are doing okay. On the other hand, of course, you might not be doing so well for all kinds of reasons. Perhaps you've had somebody close to you suffer or become unwell or even pass away. Perhaps you're feeling weary of the situation that you are in. Perhaps you're lonely. Well, I want to encourage you today. I want to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you don't need me to tell you that life can be hard sometimes. That's clear from our experience. But the question is, what will keep you going when life does get hard? What will sustain you? Well, in the book of Acts, we find a Lord and Saviour who is personally willing, ready, and able to do just that, to sustain his people through challenging times. It's what the Apostle Paul and many others found in the events recorded in that book. That the Lord Jesus Christ sustains his people when they most need it. And in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 to 11, we have this brief record of something that happened in Paul's life, which demonstrates that clearly and conclusively and wonderfully. Let me read to you from those verses then. Acts 18, verse 9. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Three brief things from these verses. Let's first see Christ's wisdom. Christ's wisdom. Christ's wisdom is that He knows we need sustaining. If you've read this far in the book of Acts, you find out that we've reached a point where Paul is at probably one of the lowest ebbs of his missionary travels. He may well have been at breaking point. He's been stripped and beaten and jailed in Philippi. He's been pursued by a vicious mob in Thessalonica and Berea. He's been exhausted and distressed and mocked in Athens. By the time he reaches Corinth, he's done for. We know from the book of 1 Corinthians that when he reached Corinth, he was really concerned and tired out and feeling much in need and not really looking forward to the prospect of preaching God's word there too. But here is the point. Jesus knows all of that. Here Paul is in Corinth in Acts 18, and Jesus knows what he's been through, and he knows what he needs. And so at just the time when Paul needs it, Jesus steps in to sustain him. He speaks to him. One night, verse 9, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent. There is his wisdom, there's his love, there's his compassion. Now that's not the only time that happens in Acts. There are various points, numerous points in the book of Acts, where God's people need sustaining and Jesus steps in to do that very thing. Jesus knows that we need it. Now, Jesus might not use visions or angels, those kinds of miraculous or uniquely revelatory experiences in our life in quite the same way today, but the same heart still lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows when you are hurting. He knows when times are difficult. He knows when you're close to the edge. And he is never slow to sustain his people at those times. I saw this happen myself this week. My wife, Miriam, has just come up with a little sort of project to encourage us as a church, where she's asking every member of the church to share one of their favorite Bible verses, and we're going to put them all together with a photo of all the members and put it on our Facebook page, just to encourage each other, to remind each other of God's faithfulness to us. But as a kind of example for some people, she was texting about this. She asked me to give her a verse and explain a little bit why it was meaningful to me. And I did that, and I chose one of my favorite verses from Psalm 32. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. And said it just reassures me that my sin was counted against Christ. And she sent that to one particular girl in the church, as to many people. And this girl got back to her and she said, well, that was just a word for me. I just needed that. I was so downcast, and that's lifted me up. Do you know what? That wasn't me, and that wasn't my wife who did that. That was Jesus, because he loves his people and he knows we need sustaining. He knows you do, and he will do it for you just when you need it. Pray to him that he would. If you're feeling it at the moment, pray he'd step in and show you his wisdom. So that's Christ's wisdom. He knows we need sustaining. Here's Christ's way, secondly. Christ's way of sustaining us. He sustains us by command and promise. He sustains us by command and by promise. So note this, that when the Lord steps in verses 9 and 10, he speaks to Paul. He uses verbs and nouns and adjectives. He uses words. It's not just a kind of cozy feeling, but he gives direction, and he's clear, and he reveals what Paul needs to do now. On the one hand, there are commands. On the other hand, there are promises, and the two always go together with our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's one of the commands. Do not be afraid. Refuse to give in to fear, he says to Paul. That's in verse 9. Here's another command. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Jesus sustains his people at crucially difficult times by giving them commands, things that they need to do. There is some action that they need to take. He doesn't just stroke our hair, you know, and say everything's going to be all right. He says, here's what to do. He says it graciously and kindly, but he says it clearly. Do this, obey me, and I will make that the way that I sustain you. So even when Paul is close to breaking point, Jesus's first port of call is still command. But that always goes hand in hand with promise. Verse 10, for I am with you. There's nothing for Paul to do there, is there? It's just a promise. I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. Now, a promise like that, we can't take every single element of it and apply it directly to our own lives or our own city, our own town or situation. But the point that we can definitely take away is that Christ makes it clear by his promise that he always has a plan. He has not been taken unawares by this, or by something in your life, or by you. He is in control. He has a plan. He loves you. He will work it out. And even if you can't take some specific elements of this promise, you can take this one. I am with you. That is a universal promise for every disciple of Christ ever since he gave it to the 12 in the Great Commission. I am with you always. In John Wesley's dying words, he summed it up as well as anyone could. Best of all, God is with us. Do you know something of that? I hope you do. Jesus sustains his people by command. We've got something to do. But he also sustains us by promise. We've got something to hold on to. So that's Christ's wisdom, Christ's way. And now we see Christ's witnesses. Christ's witnesses, what do? They believe the promise and they obey the command. So that's what they always do, and that's the only way that anyone ever has got through challenging times with the sustaining power of Christ. They believe the promise, they obey the command. Yes, you are with me. Yes, I will do what you say. And that's what Paul did. See that in verse 11. So Paul stayed in Corinth. He was feeling weak. He was feeling it was tough. He wondered whether his message would be effective. Some people had already rejected it. A few had accepted it. But at that point of crisis, he realizes, no, I've got to carry on because Christ has commanded me to do so and he is with me. So verse 11, Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. If Jesus is yours, then his commands are yours. If Jesus is yours, his promises are yours. His presence is yours. And this calm courage of the Apostle Paul can be yours too, because you're no different to Paul at that level. You have the same Saviour. But that's only true if you believe the promises and you obey the commands. It's quite a simple formula, isn't it, in some ways? It can be hard to do sometimes, but believe, obey. It can seem hard to do sometimes, but it can be done. I've seen it done. I have some friends, some Christian friends in another part of the country who I really treasure because they're great examples to me. They are a couple who are of a similar age to me and my wife. They lost their third child when she was just an infant. Just died quite suddenly. And obviously that was a really traumatic time for them, and still, of course, is a grief to them, though it's some years ago now. But I love visiting that couple's home because it is full to the brim of the commands and promises of Christ. Maybe framed in a picture on the wall. Maybe written as a note on the fridge. Maybe emblazoned across the child's painting. In the kitchen, in the bathroom, in the dining room, in the hallway, as you pick up your keys to go out the door. The promises and commands of the living God are there throughout that home. Be still and know that I am God. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Here are Christians like you, in other words. They're not super Christians, they're just ordinary Christians. They're Christians who face very real grief and trial. And how have they responded? They've responded by believing the promises and obeying the commands. And they are some of the most vibrant and lively and mature, wise Christians that I know because of that. They've chosen to fill their lives with the promises and commands of God. And they're taking the decision daily that they're going to believe the promises and obey the commands. And I love what the wife said on one occasion to me. She said, losing Sophie has given us such a different perspective on life, on eternity, on heaven. We now hold the things of this life so much more lightly. We value what God has given us so much more. It's changed us so much for the better. We'd never have chosen the suffering that God has taken us through. But from what we've learned now, we wouldn't have had it any other way. In other words, Jesus has sustained them. His way of sustaining them has been through command and promise. And the way they have been able to thrive as a result is they've obeyed the commands and they've believed the promises. And you know what? You can do that too. I trust that you will. God be with you. Amen.